Welcome to the HJ Talks About Abuse podcast, the podcast where we talk about sexual abuse cases in the hope that it will assist listeners in openly discussing topics which have been ignored for too long. This podcast is brought to you by the abuse team at Hugh James. We are lawyers, so we tend to speak about the legal aspects of abuse cases, but we aren't too shy to speak up about the broader issues faced by survivors of sexual abuse too. We hope that you find it interesting, but more than that, if you are a survivor of sexual abuse, we hope that you find our discussion empowering. Hello, podcast listeners. I'm Alan Collins. I lead the abuse team at Hugh James, and I'm joined today by my colleague, Felina Grosvenor. Hi, Felina.
Hi, Alan. How are you?
I'm very well, thank you. And you?
I'm good, thank you.
I've just realised I have not seen you in the conventional sense for over 2 months now.
Has it really been two? Oh, my
yeah.
God.
Yeah, extraordinary.
You missed my birthday as well.
I know.
I'll be expecting cake upon return in the office.
Yeah, well, that'll be next year's birthday.
Yeah, it will be at this rate. Gosh, it's so long when you actually say it out loud.
It's gone 2 months, actually. It's extraordinary. Anyway, podcast listeners, this is Felina's idea. She wanted to talk in this podcast about claims against someone out of reach. Mm. So out of reach means what exactly, Felina?
So before I began working with you, Alan, and on claims such as those that we do, I had a lot of incorrect assumptions of who you could claim against. So by that, I'm talking about what we do is personal injury. And for someone that has been abused, I didn't realise a number of things. So the reason why this came to my attention to talk in this podcast was because of the recent, well, further charges against a former football coach, Barry Bennell. Alan, I'm sure you're familiar. He was convicted of, I think, about 50 child sexual offences not too long ago. I think he was imprisoned about 2 years ago, and some fresh charges have been made against him. When I read through that, I just thought of someone who isn't in the legal profession and may think, well, he's been charged with such a number of things. Why did this not come forward 2 years ago? And why is it okay that it's all, you know, the whole process is sort of happening again, so to speak?
Okay, so there's a whole series of questions in that. So it's not unusual in my experience for, as a result of publicity in respect of a case that's resulted in a successful prosecution, in other words, so there's been a conviction of an abuser, for new people to come forward. It's quite a common scenario, so it's not untypical for survivors, victims, to sort of get courage. They'd seen on the television or heard on the radio or they'd seen on the internet a news report that X has been convicted following a trial, sent to prison. It sort of gives them the courage to come forward, and they may then pick up the phone or find some other way of getting in touch with the police and make their own complaint.
Would it be fair as well to say that it's common that people may think that perhaps their abuser has died, and then they see this news article and realise that's not the case?
That can be quite shocking for a victim. Mm-hmm. You know, they have gone along under the assumption that their abuser must be dead, or they put the sort of abuser out of their mind, so to speak, in a way. They put him or her maybe inside that box, Pandora's box. Then something comes along and forces Pandora's box open. You know, a newspaper report says X has been convicted and sent to prison for child abuse. Yeah. And so for that person, that survivor, their whole world can literally be turned upside down because they're sort of forced to confront something that's perhaps been hidden away, buried, suppressed, and there it is, all out in the open.
Yeah, I'm sure that's very traumatic.
It is traumatic for many. It's a what I describe as a distress purchase situation. It's they're being confronted with something extremely difficult to deal with, arising out of something terrible that happened to them maybe many years ago when they were young.
But what we are obviously addressing is you may find that awful information, but it could result in a claim for you.
Yes, it opens up new opportunities for the survivor. You know, they are being confronted with, in one sense, the reality, and they have some choices. Option number one may well be to try and put it all back inside Pandora's box, put the lid down and fasten the padlock. I think, although in my experience, that's virtually impossible to do, but everyone's different. But that is an option. The other option is to get in touch with the police and make a complaint and see where that goes. The other option, of course, is to consult lawyers such as us to see whether or not they can bring their own case against the abuser or those responsible for the abuser. So it does open up opportunities, and those opportunities could be extremely important, particularly if, as a result of Pandora's box being opened up, that survivor is suffering. You know, it's because if they are suffering as a result of Pandora's box being opened, making a complaint to the police or bringing a civil claim may not be enough in itself. They may need expert help to get the show back on the road. They may need to pay for expert medical treatment, therapy, to try and help them deal with what's going on in their minds. They may be unable to work because of the psychological stresses that they're going under, so they're out of pocket, they're suffering loss of earnings. Relationships may have been affected. It's not uncommon for someone who has had Pandora's box opened to have serious issues in their relationships with their spouses, partners, friends, children, whatever. So it does have potentially wide implications, and it's very important, in my experience, for that survivor to get expert advice so that they can make an informed choice, and I emphasise an informed choice as to what they should do, because I find too often survivors and victims are told what to do, and I don't think it's anybody's place to tell a victim or survivor what they should do. I think it's down to survivor to make the choices. They just need to have the information so that they can make a choice for themselves, as opposed to being told what to do. And I think that's something that I've learned over the years. You do not tell people what to do. You equip them with the information that they need so that they can go away and think about what they want to do.
Yes, and the examples you've given, you know, the effects on relationships and other things, that can be over a very long time. So it's not an easy choice for someone to make. And in these recent charges against Barry Bennell, the child abuse that was committed was between 1979 and 1991. So another thing that a survivor I know worry about, because I've been told this by new inquiries that we have in, that it's been too long. They perceive it's been too long for them to do anything about it.
Yes, and sometimes that may be the case. I think we have to be open and accept that sometimes too much time has passed. But sometimes that's not the case.
As you said, get an informed decision needs to be made by asking professionals such as yourself.
Yes, it's all about, you know, it's equipping yourself with the information that you need so that you can decide what you want to do. And it's not for anybody to say, oh, you must do this or that's wrong or whatever. It's nobody's place to do that. The job of the professional is to say, well, these are the issues, these are the options. Go away and decide what you want to do.
That's, I think, the only way to look past misconceptions is to ask those questions.
That's right. And it's important to not just look at the immediate, but it's also important to look at the future. I can remember, it's something you just said just now, just remember representing somebody who had been abused by a teacher, and he had been forced to confront what had happened, because there was a court case and the police, to cut a long story short, the police found this person and wanted to know if he'd been at the school. Yes, he had been at the school, and it came out that he too had been abused by this teacher. So it was a sort of forced disclosure, so to speak. And his whole world was turned upside down. And at the end of the case, some time after the end of the case, so it may have been, you know, weeks, months, it was quite some time after the case had finished, all of a sudden he got in touch with me and actually said, thank you for reuniting me with my family.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, and I thought, you know, my sort of sharp intake of breath and heart missed a beat and so on. And, but basically what it was all about for him going through the process was rebuilding the relationships with his children and his wife. That's what it was all about. That's why he went through what he had to do, no matter how difficult it was, in order to rebuild that most important thing in his life.
You hear a lot of survivors, you know, there's a lot of reasons that they feel not to come forward. But as you've just said, there are some really big positives.
Yes, that's right. And that person, I like to think he was put into a position where he was able to make an informed choice about what he wanted to do. And I think if he was talking to us today, he would say, yes, it was very difficult, but it achieved that long-term objective, which was, as he put it, reuniting him with his family.
That's really wonderful.
Yeah. So, you know, it was gives you a big insight into people's needs and motivation. And we mustn't lose sight of that. Everyone's an individual. And yeah, you know, it's important that when people are put into this position, that they are given all the information that they need so that they can work out for themselves what they need to do. So thanks for this particular idea for the podcast. Covered a lot of ground there. So hopefully that will be of interest out there. Thanks, Felina, and thank you very much, podcast listeners.
Thank you, Alan.
Thank you for listening to this episode of HJ Talks About Abuse. You can subscribe to our podcast on iTunes, Spotify, or your favourite podcast player. If you'd like to speak to us about something you've heard today, we'd love to hear from you. Email us at aboutabuse@hjtalks.co.uk.